Greetings, my wonderful friends, and welcome to the AddedSouls.com podcast, powered by the Spencer Church of Christ in Wisconsin. Stefan Maillet here, your audio and video servant for this session, the title therein being The Spirit Intercedes. The Spirit Intercedes, Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Now, to a people who once communicated with God the Father through an old system of law, now commanded to accept and adhere to a new form of interaction, one which the Spirit and the Son, the second and third persons of the Godhead, take our weakness, our frailty, in prayer, and accurately petition, or appeal to authority, of course, with accurate spiritual language, and deliver it to God the Father. In this new pattern of law and grace, pay attention now, nothing is done to us, but rather for us. Here's an illustration to help us make sense of what's being told. I'm going to first quote the scriptures here, and then we'll go into this illustration to help us make sense of what the author is teaching. Verse 26, Romans chapter 8, it says, "In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words." Now, "And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." The Spirit himself intercedes for us. You can find yourself in verse 34 of the same chapter, seeing that Jesus Christ here also is mentioned as one who intercedes for us. So God the Spirit, God the Son intercede for us. How does that work? How can we as Christians in this day and age, the Messianic age, living in this current culture, 2019, 2021, moving forward, how can we make sense of this? How do we apply this in our faith? We do not want to add to the text. We do not want to take away from the text. We do not want to apply any worldly, secular, perverted view of this information. So here's an illustration to help us move forward. You found employment at the factory up the street. And for years, you communicated with the boss in his office for all sorts of things. Throughout the years, the company has grown in leaps and bounds. A new system of communication has now been administered. It is ordered to you that from now on, your supervisor will be the one in whom you communicate with for anything and everything. Okay? Now, that might not sit right with you initially, since you've been used to the old way for so long, but you've been made to understand that this is the way the boss now wants it. And you love the boss, and you trust the boss. And so, you know, whether questions about the work hours, paychecks, grievances, and all other various forms of concern and requests, the supervisor is now the person who takes from you and brings it to the boss. Now, the supervisor has all authority in the company, so you're in good hands. He has your back. He'll defend you if you're a good worker. He'll petition for your request because he speaks a language in which the boss will understand and comply with. The supervisor is the boss's son. He's inherited the claim. And because they know you're trying to better the company, knowing that a well-functioning business sells more product, you now have a connection with them. So you proceed to approach the supervisor with various inquiries and requests, and he takes them to the boss in accuracy, and they are answered according to the greater good of the company and those who work hard within it. You want comfy sneakers from the boss so that your feet won't hurt at your station. Well, okay, the supervisor takes the request from you, approaches the boss in the office and says, hey, you know John Smith? He's asking for a mat to place under his work boots. This will ease his feet and back pain. This will result in greater productivity from him to the company. And so the boss purchases a mat for the employee, separating his feet from the concrete. Now the answer could have also been, he will get no sneakers for his feet, and nor any mat. For when John Smith gets too comfortable, he starts to lack productivity. See how this makes sense now? It should. Let it soak in. Press pause, rewind, listen to it again. Now, the saints work in the kingdom of God. Okay? Jesus and his spirit are the supervisors. They take our prayers and petition and place them before God the Father. Nothing is done to us directly in operation, but rather for us in grace and mercy and love and understanding. So here's the blueprint in a nutshell regarding Romans chapter 8, verse 26. We the saints pray. This is in practical principle practice for us today. We the saints, we pray. God the Son and the Spirit intercede for us. They take from us our thanks and request to therefore deliver it to the Father, God the Father. The recipient in this direction, going upward, if you will. God the Father has now received the spiritual accuracy of the prayer. It has been petitioned, and so he proceeds to deliver a reply according to his will, which consequently benefits all who love him. Pay raise, comfy sneakers, you know, all that good stuff. So God the Father understands the spiritual dialect transmitted from the Son and his Spirit. Saints, in our weakness, are unable to directly communicate with God the Father with the necessary oomph required from his creation, hence a mediator. He who intercedes for us. The Spirit stands beside us and makes an appeal to God the Father on our behalf. Again, nothing is done to us directly, but rather for us spiritually. Don't you have faith in that? Please reason with me here. If saints were directly operated on by the Holy Spirit in order to know what to pray and how to pray, if words and emotions are directly placed in our bodies, minds, and mouths, questions would arise, such as, why the need for a mediator? It negates the text in question. Why the need for Christ and his Spirit to intercede? In that fact, why the need for the Holy Bible? If God the Son and or God the Spirit can literally enter our minds and take over, remove our free will, and therefore proceed to tell us what to say and how to say it, would that not negate our need for his role to intercede? Well, of course it was. It would. And it would contradict the plain reading of the text if we pay attention to what's being said in Romans chapter 8. If we simply, honestly, genuinely, sincerely receive our comfort, help, joy, peace, and understanding from the inspired order, it would greatly surpass our trust in things God never said he'd do. He does for us and not to us. This faith, this truth, may we together, can we together, repent from worldly, denominational attempts to sensationalize the works of the Holy Spirit. Let us be sober in our spiritual thoughts and emotions. Hey, if we love God, he'll take care of us as needed. And when we pray to the Father, we can know that the Son and His Spirit are there interceding for us. Stay positive, stay focused. AddedSouls.com is the podcast. We are powered by the Spencer Church of Christ in Wisconsin. And by all means, we shall meet again here tomorrow, Lord willing. God bless.